Camden Community Radio.
For more information and to volunteer, email info@ccradio.org.
Jason Manseray and myself went along to an event called Post Porn at the Fringe Gay Film Festival earlier this summer. Post Porn is a social movement begun by American porn star Annie Sprinkle way back in the early 1980s. Annie wanted to challenge the existing conventions of the mainstream and the gay porn industries. Her onstage sexual explorations and books quickly inspired both performance artists and cultural theorists. 20 years on, a new feminist movement called transfeminism has taken shape. This event at the Fringe Film Festival was staged by Spanish performance artist Diana Torres. It began with a documentary about the Spanish post-porn movement. Women and men of different ages and backgrounds spoke eloquently about the ideas behind their work. They described themselves as sexual dissidents who were committed to using their sexual energies to shake up the social and cultural world of post-Franco Spain, and in particular, to wrench Spain away from the repressive influences of the Catholic Church.
Mis patas de hierba me trajeron aquí, a este charco perpetuo donde todo es dulce pecado y donde todo por seguro conduce a la perdición. Que Dios me perdone si algún día no soy fiel a mis deseos.
I went to the slave's funeral 2 weeks ago. Now it appears to me at night, cruel ghost, dust, luckily. When I wake up, it evaporates between my fingers and my ghost legs brought me here to this perpetual puddle where everything is sweet sin and where everything for sure lead to condemnation. God forgive me if someday I'm not faithful to my desires.
This was a radical show. Diana staged a very explicit performance of autoerotic sexuality involving pain, pleasure, and multiple onstage orgasms, mostly set to the background of images of contemporary and historical violence by both governments and the Catholic Church.
It was a very enlightening experience, especially sort of getting the rationale behind it, if you like, listening to the people who were part of the movement and also watching the documentary, how heavily politicized it was. I mean, even things like the public masturbation events were really fascinating. It was sort of rejecting the ideals of being conservative and it needing to be private. And I don't know, there's certain things that, you know, I admired about it. Whether or not, I don't know if I could take part in it, but I certainly did feel like I gained something from it. I think watching someone's body be turned into an instrument was one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen.
Between pain and pleasure, between sadism and tenderness, make me ejaculate nectar, darling.
And, you know, there were times in it where it was truly shocking, you know, whether it was the montage behind, at times you're seeing open surgery, but also I really like this whole idea of absolving the sins, but then not absolving them, sort of rejecting them, you know, saying I'm not a sinner, I'm expressing myself and that's my right. It was really a great experience and certainly learned a lot from the post-porn performances.
Well, I like to introduce a little bit myself. My name is Carmen Monzonis. I live in Valencia, Spain. I came here to the Fringe Festival because I came with Maria Llopis, my friend, and well, Diana is also my friend, and well, I wanted to go with them and to enjoy this festival. It was a very new thing. I'm a fighter and I have a lot of experience in the feminism, but I never heard about this kind of performances or this kind of struggle that has to do with sexuality mainly. So I think that there's a lot to talk about post-porn, and there's a lot to investigate.
I asked Carmen, what were the politics behind the post-porn movement?
You need to be a feminist to do post-porn because it's, well, the core of this representation is the feminist. But, you know, there are many feminisms. There is not just one. And at the moment, we're developing a branch or a kind of feminism called transfeminism. that is based on the queer theory, you know, and this involves any kind of art, performances, activism, politics, etc. And we are just developing this new kind of feminism. It's very new. It's a kind of reivindicate the sexualities, the different sexualities, the sexualities that are not heteronormative, that they are not mainstream, and that they are very dissident and very alternative.
Yes, dissident is a very good word because it's a very politically informed performance, and that was very engaging. I think the subtitle was My Sexuality is an Artistic Creation, and in that she was saying that we must break down the barriers between life and art so that her life becomes an artistic articulation of a new form of sexuality. Is that correct?
Yes, I think so. They don't separate their usual practices, their sexuality, and their artistic creation.
Okay, is it porn or is it art?
I think it's porn and it's art, of course. I think that it's a kind of representation of sexuality through art. It's well, they develop their sexuality, their personal sexuality, through their artistic creation. And it's absolutely interlinked, the art creation and the own sexuality, as they explain in the documentary, because they are constructing every day their sexuality at the same time that they are making their performances, their art.
That's a really important point. They're not showing something that's already existing in an art form. It's being created and developed and expanded through the artistic practice. Is that what you're saying?
That's true. If you watch their creations along the years, because they are maybe 10, 12 years doing this, they are evolving. There is a constant evolution personally and artistically, and they have a very strong links personally. They are all good friends. They are created a kind of net. They are working separately because there are different groups by two, three, one person, depends, but sometimes they work together. I could see some of them in last November in Madrid. There was a gathering about it was called International Queer. It was curated by Beatriz Preciado, who is a very talented woman at the moment around the transfeminism, and we could see their work by Post Op, Quimera Rosa, and Diana Porno Terrorista. So sometimes they work together, sometimes they do their work separately, but they are always supporting each other when they need somebody.
I would just like to say that in English, porno terrorista.
Porno terrorista or porn terrorist.
The website would be
www.pornoterrorismo.com.
Thank you.
Yes, there is a network in all over Spain, more or less in the big cities. And we work together, artists that are creating and activists that we are fighting in the streets, fighting in a political way. So we call it artivism, because there is a strong link between action, between activism and artists. And more or less, we are working together, because I can tell you in Valencia, there is another group who makes post-porn. It's called Idea Destroying Muros. Muros is a word in Spanish, but they mix English and Spanish. So they are a group of Italian women who came flying from Italy in the Berlusconi time, you know. So they are established in Valencia. They are living there for maybe 7-8 years, and they make also perfumes, and they do a political work. So when there's another group doing activism in San Sebastian, who's called Medeac. Well, I can tell you many other groups of women working together.
I found Diana's engagement, her deconstruction of the hidden hypocrisy of the church, really powerful and spiritual in a way that, I don't know if you're familiar with the performances of Artaud, who was a theatre of cruelty in France. He's revered as secular saint, so it had a very spiritual component for me, Diana's performance.
Yes, I agree. She's always denouncing the weight of the church in our lives and all the damage that they are giving us, especially as women, especially but to everybody, but especially to women. And she's always calling to revelation against the church and against their patriarchy, especially.
Carmen, Diana used pain, inflicted pain on herself through. There is a relation of psychic pain and the working through of pain in the body. There was a suggestion that there's no difference between pain and pleasure, or pain and orgasm, or sadism and love. Would you like to talk about that?
Diana wants to show that violence is in our everyday life. So she puts on the screen images of torture, of killings, or everything that shows us the violence that involves our world, everyday world. So she doesn't avoid violence. She wants to represent it.
But I get a sense from Diana's performance that it's very considered and very thoughtful, and that she's very aware of her own power and her own destructive power, as well as her own creative power, and that she channels that in a very politically informed way. Is that correct?
Yes, I think so. I think that she's showing that women, we can be violent against ourselves and against the others, that we are not always submissive, like patriarchy wants us. Also, their own violence. She feels violence, and she shows it. She's not ashamed.
One of the great ideas from the documentary last night was that your organs are irrelevant. It's the political and sexual imagination that matters. So people either removing breasts or wanting penises or removing penises and stuff. I mean, what was so expressive was the imaginative use of the body and the mind and the spirituality that informed a lot of the sexuality of the sexual performances.
You don't need to mutilate your body. You don't need to be violent with yourself, removing parts of your body to become a different person, or to feel if you were born a woman but you never felt as a woman, you do need to remove your breasts or your uterus to become a man, because really that's not the most important things, the physical features. And that's what more or less the transfeminism movement reivindicates, that everybody is free to do whatever they want to their body, but you don't need to feel this social pressure to give this appearance, this physical appearance of a man, to be recognized as a man. By instance, I have some transgender friends, and they have their female characteristic, their breasts and their uterus, but they feel absolutely like they like men, and they are recognized by like men, because we call them in a masculine way, you know. So that's, I think, the aim of this special picture, no? The breast removing. The nose surgery is an aggression against your body. So some people that is going to make the surgery in their nose, in their breasts, or something not chirurgical, not medical surgery, but voluntary surgery.
Cosmetic surgery.
Cosmetic surgery. They are doing violence against their body in a way, submissive, like a patriarchy wants us.
Carmen, I'd like to come back for a minute, if I can, to the question of consent. I get a sense that there is a tremendous emotional integrity in Diana's work.
But I've come across people over the years who were struggling with issues of sexual abuse in childhood that were being replayed in, say, the masochistic scenarios, and they went wrong because there wasn't an understanding of the feelings and the history, the hidden psychic histories, the hidden wounds that people were very, very desperate to articulate and find a way of expressing. Do you know what I mean?
I think that Diana says she didn't have problems in her childhood, that she is just expressing her sexuality as an adult. But I understand your point of view. Of course, there can be people abused, and then they don't know how to manage this violence. That's another question.
Yes, and that there's a danger that people are just repeating the cycle of abuse and self-harm. Because there's no doubt that the feeling, my colleague was sitting beside me and said that he felt a wonderful sense of liberation watching Diana's performance. So there's no way that that's repeating a historical abuse. It's actually, as you said, integrating violence. It's really wonderful to see women taking sexuality and traversing the boundaries to such a wonderful, bringing the sexual revolution of Kate Millett and the early feminists to such a wonderful place.
Yes, I think this is what is coming, the revolution, the sexual revolution, because it was a subject a little bit hidden into the feminism. And, well, I think that it's time to talk about our sexuality and to represent it and to take it in the outside, in the streets.
You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.